I will start.
Yeah, you.
Mike Leigh's new movie, Peter Lou, opens in U.S. cinemas this weekend, and it actually set off a little frisson in my personage, in that he is such an interesting filmmaker. He makes movies quite unlike most other people. I can think of maybe one other person who's also British, and that's kind of weird. But let's talk about let us talk about some of the great movies of his back catalog.
What will you watch at home this week? The Cube Critics Podcast has some ideas.
You and I already see a problem here, because I
do?
Can read your chicken scratch notes. And I can tell you we are both picked the same two movies out of his long career.
I have three.
You have three? All right.
I have three, because I knew that was going to happen.
Did you? I didn't think it was going to happen, because I went through the list of Mike Leigh movies, and I thought, well, Topsy-Turvy. I'm always going on about how much I love Topsy-Turvy.
The Gilbert and Sullivan.
The Gilbert and Sullivan historical pick, and I remember how surprised I was when Topsy-Turvy came out, because up until then, Mike Leigh, you know, he'd started off as, you know, very involved in left-wing socialist politics and really conscious of class differentiation in the UK.
He was known as a producer of kitchen sink dramas when he did his early work with TV in the UK.
Yeah, and the first movies of his that I saw were really funny movies about families that are just broken or people that are hopeless, and they'd be funny and scarring at the same time. And then came along Naked, which, oh my God, how much I loved this movie when it came out. It came out in the early 90s.
1993.
And it is like his other movies. Instead of there being a script that is written out by Mike Leigh, he and the actors work out what the storyline is vaguely, and then some dialogue, and they build the screenplay together. So you've got to have actors that you're really intimately working with. And he made it with a young David Thewlis. I mean, he wasn't that young, but he was pretty unknown. He was just he was 30 or so. And he plays a character named Johnny, who is just a horrible person, and shows up at the beginning. You see him violently having really awful sex, and an awful encounter with a woman. Is it rape or is it just rough sex? It's not good. Anyway.
Whatever it is, it's not pleasant.
It's not pleasant. And he goes away and he ends up in an apartment kind of hanging out. And the whole time, this whole movie, as he wanders through London and hangs out with a security guard at night in this like gray and blue washed movie. It's such a filthy looking movie, and you don't really want to go to London after seeing it, thinking, wow, what a glamorous place. No,
it's a public
disgusting.
Service. It's a public service.
And you can almost smell the smell of London. He wanders through, he's talking the whole time. His many theories about
humanity. He's a conspiracy theorist.
He's a conspiracy theorist. He thinks he understands human nature in ways that nobody else does. And he seems incredibly bright and incredibly misanthropic. But it is nothing compared to another character that shows up, Sebastian, who is the landlord of the place. And you go through this really strange emotional journey with Johnny, where you're watching him as a kind of a disgusting low life, and then you're attracted to, not attracted to him, like, oh, isn't that a great guy, my dream man, but you're attracted to listening to him and watching him, you're drawn in.
Well, you can't look away, he's like a train wreck, waiting to happen.
He's just amazing. And then by the end, you come to very strange, ambivalent feelings about Johnny. It's a great movie, Naked. I love it.
He is both a victimizer and a victim, and it changes on the spur of a moment. It's actually, at times, very funny. It's incredibly funny.
You've got to have a really dark sense of humor, though.
But then you just go to places that, I mean, it's a physically exhausting film to watch emotionally, and maybe even physically, you know, just because you're so tense, wondering about what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And you can't
look away.
You can feel
an explosion coming.
Yeah.
You can feel.
Yeah. So
the horror is coming. All right, there we go. Naked, highly recommended.
So, in a way, he then produces. He produced many years later the kind of the mirror image of that film in Happy Go Lucky.
Oh yes,
2008, and
it really is.
And this is Sally Hawkins playing this preternaturally positive elementary school teacher, Poppy Cross, who is just. She cannot see a bad side to anyone. There's always something that is worth celebrating as she goes around again in London. Mm-hmm. And in a way, she is like Johnny in Naked, who is wandering around in the deep of night. She is wandering around in London during the day and meeting people and having spreading joy to a certain extent, even though she's meeting some terrifying mm-hmm. people. There are a couple of scenes in this movie that will rock you back on your heels.
Yeah.
Part of the relationship, one of the relationships she had is with her driving instructor, a guy called Scott, played by Eddie Marsan.
And Eddie Marsan is so incredible in that.
I think I was aware of him before this movie.
I don't know if I was aware of him. I'd probably seen him and not realized it. In that movie, you're just knocked back on your heels by the guy.
And he is.
And by Sally Hawkins.
Yeah. But he, Scott, the driving instructor, is so upset by Poppy's joie de vivre. She mm-hmm. cannot believe that she can be a safe driver. I mean, that's his excuse. You cannot possibly be a safe driver if you're so happy about life. And it just gets, he gets more and more intense about this. And she gets more and more intense about how she's refuses to bend. Mm-hmm. And which is, what a bizarre idea.
I know.
But
and
it works.
If you haven't seen it, you'll think, why would I watch that movie? And don't think that it's Mike Lee trying to give a comeuppance to someone who's cheerful.
Mm-hmm.
And in Naked, he isn't trying to say that David Thewlis's worldview is the right one.
He's not pro-misanthrope.
Even if he kind of agrees in some ways, it's just, I don't know how he does it and how he and the actors that he writes these screenplays with do it. And it's you're drawn in. It's not just like character studies for no reason. There's always a story. There's a tension. There's movement. And you feel it building. And it's not just, well, wouldn't it be interesting if I just play this character? And I hate character study movies where that's all it is. And Mike Lee has great characters, but there's also a narrative there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, going back to what you were talking about earlier, the way that he develops these films is really intense because there can be months and months and months of preparation and just trying things out and improvising along certain ideas, which gets even more complicated, like in the case of Peter Lou, which when you're or Topsy Turvy, where you're based on actual historical happenings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going forward with this can just be, must be really, really, really hard. But he also uses it to incredible advantage. Like, I'm blanking on the name of the film. There's a movie he made once where, I mean, it may be better if I don't say who it is.
Okay.
Where there is a character who is, we know as the audience that she is doing something that society does not approve. And then she is actually arrested. When he made that film, he managed to keep the casserole kind of working together.
Mm-hmm.
He actually kept the people who were playing her family in the dark about this wrinkle on the story. And so they were actually acting another scene when suddenly the door gets kicked down and in walks a bunch of police officers.
I had no idea that's how he did it. That's amazing.
And they are just, I mean, he could only do that once, obviously.
And this,
and this is after months and months and months of preparation. And they were just
as shocked as that.
Blown away. But they knew
family was.
They had to keep acting. Mm-hmm. And it's just an incredible scene. An incredible scene.
That is a great scene. I love that scene.
Anyway.
Made me cry. Okay. Another Year.
Uh-huh. Oh, here we go. See, you didn't see all the way to the bottom of the page because I just scribbled that down.
Oh,
that was
good.
Fake out.
Another Year is about, follows a couple through some, a time period of a year, but in each scene is set at a couple months apart. And it stars Jim Broadbent and Ruth Sheen as Tom and Jerry. Jerry, G-E-R-R-I. A couple that are smug marrieds, as Bridget Jones would say. Yeah, but they're not
They're not horrible people.
They're wonderful people, but they truly appreciate their lives. And then they have a group of, like, some friends that are closer and not as close, and their son and other family members that they visit throughout this year. And Leslie Manville is the heart of this movie for me and for most people, playing Mary, their friend on the outside, who must have been a gorgeous young thing, and because Leslie Manville as a middle-aged woman is beautiful. But this is still someone who is beautiful middle-aged, who's clinging to the idea that they're still lovely 20-year-old. They've never really gotten a toe. She's never really gotten a toehold on life. She drinks a little bit too much. She has great dreams of finding a lover, and the ones that she wants don't want her. The ones that want her, she does not want. And you go through these cycles of the movie looking at Tom and Jerry get a little bit slightly exasperated by her, and they have an idea of what she should accept in her life and do when she doesn't accept it. And it's just such a great movie about choosing happiness and lucking into happiness. Mm-hmm. And Tom and Jerry feel like they've been working at it, and Mary looks at them and thinks it all just fell into their laps. What a great movie about envy and love and friendship and drinking and getting older.
I think it's actually, I mean, this is true of many of his movies, but that's a classic example of how, while they're telling a very specific story, it's very relatable.
Yeah.
You will see reflections of some element in your own life, and that draws you in because they are so...
It feels so real.
So
they feel
normal.
Like such real characters.
Yeah, yeah. So...
All right.
Secrets and Lies.
Ah!
Not, talking about something that's a little out of the ordinary. This is from 1996, and it's a story about a very successful middle-class woman called Hortense, who is black, who knows that she was given up for adoption as a child, and she has decided that she wants to find out who her birth mother is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little complicated working through the British bureaucracy, but eventually she finds the name of her mother, who is, her name is Cynthia, who's described as downwardly mobile. She's kind of a woman whose things have not gone well for her in her life. And they are both kind of astonished when they discover that Cynthia is actually white. And that is the beginning of the story, and it just goes from there as they try to work through this situation. In part, Cynthia actually, for a while, just can't actually remember having given birth to Hortense, but then it comes back, and it's just...
And it sounds unbelievable, but you bought... It sounds like, well, I wouldn't buy into that. That sounds like a bad Lifetime movie. How can you not remember? But you completely accept it.
Yeah, and you understand as the... You learn more about the circumstances. And, you know, it's... In some ways, it's a quite a sad story, but as often happens with Mike Lee, you go in one direction and discover you've ended up somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a movie that is actually kind of filled with hope, even though many of the people in the story are deeply, deeply troubled. And this is another example. Timothy Spall is in this. But of course, I should say that Brenda Blethyn plays Cynthia, the mother. Mm-hmm. She just got accolades all over the place. I think she was, she won the best actress at Cannes, and Mike Lee won the best director, and they also won the Palme d'Or for this. Marianne Jean-Baptiste plays Hortense.
She's so great in it.
And then Timothy Spall is in it as the brother, Cynthia's brother, and he's one of the mainstays of Mike Lee's work, and just it's wonderful to see him develop over the years doing these films.
All right, so we got Naked, Another Year, Secrets and Lies.
Happy-Go-Lucky.
Happy-Go-Lucky, of course. Yeah. Good movies.
Great.